Please sit down. So we, as Heather mentioned this morning, we're in the season of Advent, Advent Sunday, and it's great that it's one of those seasons, one of two in the year, where we, certainly in the Anglican Church, and I suspect in the Catholic Church as well, there is a sense of being encouraged to prepare ourselves for a great event. So Lent, Easter, Advent being Christmas. And I think it's that time of preparation, I think, is a really good thing for us to do. Now, celebrating Advent traditionally involved a season of prayer and repentance, a bit like Lent, really, and that was followed by the anticipation, hope, and joy of the Christmas period. But I think, sadly, and even within the church, perhaps, this has been relegated, that sense of preparation, that time of anticipation. I think we are often being overtaken by the glitz and the busyness of preparing for Christmas and not really giving Advent a thought or a sense of how might God be speaking to me during this period? How might God be speaking to us as a church? What can we be doing in preparation? So I thought I'd take that as a bit of a theme today and speak a little in application, think about that a little later. But let's just have a moment or two looking at the readings, because I think it would be wrong of me not to just to comment on them. They're not easy readings. I'm sure as you were thinking about this, certainly that gospel reading, you must have been feeling incredibly depressed by it as you listened to it and saw it on the screen behind. But let's start with Jeremiah. Really interesting prophet. I'm not going to say a lot about him, but you must remember he was about 600 years before Christ, so a long time before Christ, and at a time in the Jewish nation where, as it frequently happened to them, armies were surrounding them, and Jerusalem was about to be destroyed and the Israelites taken out into exile as they were from time to time. So that's the actual context. And so Jeremiah speaks into that and basically offers them a promise of restoration. So for those people who were there at the time listening to him, they could see a promise of restoration where they would come back to their land. But there's also there a little snippet, isn't there, of the promised Messiah, the righteous branch, I think it was called, that Jeremiah used. So there was also a sense of looking to the future many years hence, that the growing, and this was a growing thing that happened within the Jewish nation over the years, the concept of Messiah came into being. Then we move on to the Luke's Gospel, and once again, no surprise, the Jewish nation was once again in trouble. They'd been occupied by the Romans for many, many years, and probably about 40 years later, eventually there was a revolt by a number of the Jewish leaders, which meant that the Romans who were occupying them really clamped down, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, that's what we've got today, and again, calamity was facing the Jewish nation. So that was the context, I suppose, and into that Luke was prophesying. He was almost saying, look, just guys, just pay attention to this. This is actually going to happen. And what Luke is referring to in our passage is, in the few verses before our reading, the fall yet again of Jerusalem. And commentators suggest, as I read around this particular passage, the passage we read, that this particular passage is not so much about the return of Jesus, but more about a judgment on the nation of Israel, and also, secondly, how to live your life during turmoil. Really interesting. So for the early Christians, those early Christians who Luke would be writing to, who were facing this revolt by the Jews in Jerusalem, because you remember this was written many years after Christ had died. So those early Christians would be struggling. And so a number of things came to light there that Luke was trying to say to them. Be alert. Be on your guard. Stand up. Raise your heads. Just be aware of what's happening here. And I think underlying it all is that sort of sense of, come on, guys, get together. You know, these things are going to happen, but you're going to have to support one another through this. Well, interestingly, that the world hasn't changed very much since that day, has it, in many ways? Calamities still beset us. We only have to look. I mean, we're much now more attuned to what's happening in our world through internet and just news is there 24 hours a day at our fingertips. And so, of course, we've had this weekend, Omicron is the new word, isn't it, that's around for us in terms of the pandemic. And who knows where that's going to take us. We've also got the horrendous scenes that we're seeing day by day of migrants seeking to cross the channel into this country to find sanctuary here. Horrible things that have been happening there, and your heart goes out to all those people in those camps at Calais who just want to be settled. And I know politically it's a much more complex thing, and we're not going into that today, but there is that sense that these are just human beings who want to somehow find a rootedness that they couldn't find in their home nation. So stuff's happening all around us. There are wars happening all over. There are all kinds of different things. So we are faced today with similar things that people were facing back in Jesus' time and back in Jeremiah's time as well. So one of the things that struck me as I was thinking about this is how easy it is to lose heart. How easy it is just to let us... Was it... Luke, was it the gospel there? It talked about letting your anxieties get on top of you. How easy it is to get into that kind of place. And I've said before, and I know Heather said it, and others have said it here, how important having a local faith community is to actually just to be able to keep us going, to keep our eyes focused, to help us to be a bit more positive, to support ourselves during these times. Really, really important. But let's turn to the Advent, to Advent time. So given all that's around, given we're now in a season of Advent and we're preparing for Christmas, how are we going to use this time? We've got 3 or 4 weeks now. How could we do that? And I think it's a really interesting question. Will we be caught up in the busyness of preparing for Christmas and then being disappointed on that day when it all happens, the big day, as people seem to suggest? And for most people, it's not a big day at all. For many people, it's just a great damp squib. Maybe we just have to rethink what we're doing and thinking. Or could I... make a point of spending some time during these next three to four weeks in reflection, anticipating the wonder of what's called in theological language incarnation. That's Christ coming into the world. I mean, what an amazing, amazing thing that actually happened and basically altered the course of history as we know. So I'm just going to give you some practical things that we might want to think about in terms of celebrating Advent, preparing for the coming of Christ. I wonder, first thing, wonder if we could begin or even continue for many of you a practice of what you could call expectant or reflective prayer during this period. Just spending a couple of times a week just thinking about, so what is this coming of Christ meaning to me? And just in your prayer times, just having a moment or two to think about that. Maybe you could, and Jan's very good at doing this, and I'm sure Janet is as well, whoever did the wreath here, it's this, maybe create something like that, which has the 5 candles, the 5th candle being for Christmas Day, but just creating a little something and having it in your home and lighting a candle each day, each evening, or whatever it is, just reminding yourself, it's just you're getting yourself in touch with, well, in terms of anticipating. Or maybe getting a little devotional guide. I had a look on the tinternet, as Peter Kay calls it, last night, and just for what devotional guides are there. And I came across a really interesting one in the Diocese of Leicester. So you just go onto their website, and they've got a devotional Advent guide there. And I had a little look at it, and I thought, oh, this could be interesting. I'll mention that to the guys here. We don't have it. I looked on Oxford Diocese. We don't have one this year for Oxford, which is unusual, because they often do produce lots of really good things. But you might want to have a little look at that, which gives you some thoughts in not just text, but visually as well, opportunities to reflect on. So that's the Diocese of Leicester, if you're interested. Or you could, somebody suggested, maybe each week having a special dinner or a special meal where you invite somebody or a couple of people to be part of that, just to share just that joy. So you're not just waiting for the Christmas day and then being disappointed. That during the 4 weeks of Advent, you just practice that kind of gift of hospitality that we may have. Or you might note each week a little note of encouragement to yourself. Just as you're reflecting, as you're spending those little bits of time, just thinking to yourself, so what's that note of encouragement, which when Heather asks on Sunday morning, I can actually say something. I hadn't thought of that, but it's a good idea, isn't it, Heather? Yes. So noting it down and bringing it into the building and saying, look, this is what this is what came to me during this week as I've been reflecting. Then another thing that I wondered about, I think I've got one more thing. Oh, I've got two more. Maybe invite someone each week to share with you, with one of those events. And it could not necessarily be a meal. It could be the praying with somebody. It could be something like that. Who knows? Just be imaginative, be creative in terms of how you might prepare. And then there's one final thing which I want to mention, and often you know that churches during this time have Christingle services where I don't think we have one here. Do we have one?
We just do it as part of our Christmas Eve,
yeah. But one of the things there, the Children's Society are the people behind the Christingle, and certainly lots of the churches that I've been, all the churches that I've been involved with over the years, we've normally given something to the Children's Society as a result of that. But there may be just something which you might think, oh, so what could I give, what could I give out to a society, whether it's the Homeless Connection here, or whether it's Children's Society, Children in Need. It could be a whole ramp of different things. So it's also thinking about, as well, in terms of preparing, what can I give outside of myself to someone else, or just to a society, or to a charity. So there's just some very practical things of how we can move forward and how we can prepare for Christmas and using Advent. I want to finish with a verse from Hebrews. It's a positive verse. I've used it before, and you will have heard it before. It's from Hebrews 12 and verse 12. And there the writer says, just a reminder to us, to lift up your tired hands then and strengthen your trembling knees. So those of you who are feeling at this particular point a bit weighed down, a bit tired, just that sense that the whole world seems to be against you, there's a verse that just encourages you, and we have a community here that can help us do that. Amen.